So this morning we are beginning a new series. We just wrapped up one called The Hospital Church, and going into the summer now, we are going to go through the parables of Jesus. And I'm super excited because they are fascinating stories of Jesus speaking and teaching in a very relatable way to the culture at the time, but also for us now. So I'm really excited about this. It's going to be awesome. And so today we're going to be in the book of Luke. If you got your Bibles, you can open up there to Luke 18. That's the parable we're going to go through. But before we do that, as kind of the first sermon of this new series, I just want to quickly give a little overview of why Jesus taught in parables so much. And so the verses will be on the screen, but earlier in the book of Luke, there's some verses from Jesus in verses 9 to 10. And it says, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." And so this is kind of Jesus' preamble to teaching a bunch of parables. And so these secrets that he's talking about, they're not some shady, dark secret. They're secrets because they're only known to those who God has revealed himself to, shown his love, shown his grace, and his kindness. He has revealed himself to those. So that is how the secrets that Jesus is talking about are known. So for those that know God, the truth has been shown to them. They've experienced his grace, his love, his life change. And for others, the parables are actually, they act like a barrier to hearing the truth. The one commentary I read put it like this: the sound of Jesus's voice reached their ears, but the beauty and power of Jesus' message never actually reached their hearts. And so when we read this from Jesus as a prelude into the parables, it almost seems like a little cruel or cold-hearted from Jesus. But it is very clearly a warning that the way he is teaching in these parables, it is to push us to truly hearing what he is saying. So as we head into weeks of going through these parables, let's keep that warning in the back of our minds, because if we just sit and listen and hear and do nothing with it, that is the warning that Jesus is giving us. If we just sit and listen and hear and do nothing, there is no point to it. We're going to talk a lot about Pharisees this morning, who had a lot of head knowledge, knew the scriptures, yet did not know God. And so let's be genuine hearers of Jesus' words, and genuine hearers of Jesus' words means we are putting it into action. It is changing something in us. It is calling us to be more like Jesus. And so let's be doers of the word, not just hearers, as it says in the book of James. So Luke 18, 9 to 14 is our passage for this morning. Before I read, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it is alive, it is active. God, we just ask that through your spirit, we would be led into truth as you promised to do. Lord, would you just reveal things in our hearts that have become hard towards you, have become distracted from you. Would you just, in your grace, show us those things? And would we have the humility to just confess that to you, God, so we can just continue to grow deeper in our relationship with you. We just pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. So as we go through this morning, I just want to keep this question in the back of our minds, or this idea: how do you approach God? How do you approach the Father? Like, where is your heart at when you come before God? Because we're about to read a story of two people with two very different approaches and postures towards God. So let's read together in Luke 18, starting in verse 9. "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God.' For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. All those who humble themselves will be exalted. So immediately in this passage, we see who Jesus is addressing. He's addressing those who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on others. As I was preparing for this sermon, I had the question come across my mind of like, do I know someone that needs to hear this message and read this passage? And I, in my head, I said, yes, I do. Immediately, I am missing the point. Like, immediately. I have already disregarded the warning from Jesus we read in chapter 8. And then what I've just read, I've totally disregarded. If you and I think we do not need to hear this, we are completely missing the point already. Completely missing what Jesus is saying. If you or I are thinking, thank goodness I am not like that Pharisee, like that religious person, we have already missed the point, and we've fulfilled the second part of looking down on others. So if you or I do not think we need to hear this and apply it and live it out, we are missing the point. Because I can probably guarantee you everyone in this room has dealt with pride at some point, and pride is sneaky, very sneaky. And we're going to talk about that in a bit. So this parable, that is who Jesus is addressing. I would argue everyone. The parable then begins with a similarity between two people, the Pharisee and the tax collector. They are both going up to the temple to pray. That is where the similarities stop. So first, we got the Pharisee. In the first century, Pharisees were seen as very good people. They were the ones that everyone looked up to for their godly wisdom and insight and knowledge of the laws and scripture. They were looked up to for their piety and their devotion to religious traditions and laws and teachings. And then you have the tax collectors. They're the exact opposite, universally hated. They were seen as traitors, oppressors of their own people, thieves, liars, cheats. They were going out for the government to collect money from their own people, but adding a bit on top, probably not a bit, a lot on top, and taking it home for themselves. They were universally hated. So we have these two people going to the temple to pray. And then we see their prayers written here. The Pharisee's prayer. So he supposedly comes to the temple to pray before God. Immediately, it is clear that is not the case. He has come to build himself up, to boast about all the good things he's doing, to compare himself to others and then look down on others he just sees as lower than himself. And if you notice the language of I am not like the others. I fast, I give a tenth of all I get. It is the most like self-centered, ego-filled, inward-focused prayer. It's all focused on, he's saying, here's what I bring to the table, God. Here's what I have to offer. Look at me. You must be proud. You must need me. If you read through Mark 12, Jesus gives a warning about teachers of the law and Pharisees, where he says, watch out for teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes, be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Jesus, he pulls no punches with Pharisees. He calls them out over and over and over. Yes, they were seen as the most religious, the most righteous, the most holy. They had no idea what it meant to actually love God and have a relationship with him. They obeyed God for their own pride and status and ego. They didn't obey God because they loved him. They obeyed him just to prove to everyone else that I'm better. And as I read that prayer of the Pharisee, it is easy to think, like, what an ignorant, like, cocky person. Like, but if we have some, like, genuine, honest self-reflection, I'll speak for myself, I can see a lot of myself in the attitude of a Pharisee at times. And so I want to caution us of just being like, what, like, how could someone even operate like that, think like that, have an attitude like that? If we're thinking like that, We're actually probably a little more like the Pharisee than we like to admit. So we need to honestly look at our hearts. It's all inward focus. It's all look at me. It's all look at what I've done. It says he fasts twice a week. That was more than the law required if you read Leviticus. It says he tithes. I can probably guarantee you it wasn't with a generous heart. If you or I have decided, like the Pharisee, that it is up to us to earn our own righteousness, to earn our way into heaven through our own goodness, we are naturally going to look down on others. If I walk around trying to earn my righteousness, earn my salvation through being a good person and doing good things, I am naturally going to compare myself to others. Look at what I'm doing. It's pretty awesome. Look at those others. They're not quite in the same spot. It totally goes against the gospel of Jesus Christ to earn our own salvation. We'll come back to that as well in a minute here. I do think out of the Pharisee's prayer, I think there is one truthful thing he says. He says he is not like this tax collector. That is very true. Not in the way I think he is thinking it. He is comparing himself amongst his good works, his religious piety, all those things. But I think it is very true that he is not like this tax collector, because they have two completely different heart postures towards God when they come to the temple here. Let's look at the prayer of the tax collector. The tax collector comes to the temple and it says he stands off at a distance. He's far off. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. Look at the contrast between the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee was likely praying with, you know, big fancy words, probably doing it loudly so everyone would look at him, focus on him. He grabbed their attention. The tax collector doesn't even feel worthy to be there. He doesn't even feel worthy to be before God. He can't even lift his eyes up to heaven. And he's beating his chest and he's saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. When he says that, I don't think it's in a self-hatred way. I think it's in a self-reflective way, because he is so aware of his sin and he's not excusing it. And he is coming to God for mercy, because he knows he cannot save himself. That is honest reflection. And honest reflection regarding our sin and our brokenness, it humbles us. It changes our posture towards God. It changes our heart towards God. If you have not had honest conversations with yourself and with God, you absolutely need to, because again, pride is sneaky and it will convince you of lies. The Pharisee still believes he can save himself. He's going beyond what the law even requires. He's stacking up all the good things he's done. But he has not come to the point where he knows he needs a savior. And of these two, who goes home justified? It is the sinner who approaches God, knowing he is in desperate need of God's grace and mercy. In verse 13, the word mercy, the Greek word that is used here, it's not the most commonly used one in the New Testament. The one used here means to atone for. And an atoning sacrifice, it is a payment that fixes a broken relationship. Jesus paid the price. He took the punishment. He was killed on the cross, justifying God's justice and allowing us to be made right and forgiven. The tax collector, he was looking for mercy that would make him right with God, that would reconcile himself to God. And verse 14 tells us that he is the one that goes home justified and free and being made right through the mercy of God. Those that humble themselves, they are the ones that are exalted. Being a follower of Jesus, calling yourself a Christian, does not mean you exalt yourself and look down on others. That is not compatible with the way of Jesus. It does not work. Being a follower of Jesus means you've recognized your brokenness, your sin. You know that the only way to grace and forgiveness is through Jesus. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you go home justified. You go home forgiven. When I read through the parables, I really try and just put yourself in the actual context that it was being shared in. Because the way Jesus is teaching, the things he is speaking out, they are so relevant to the right now. And so for us, like, you know, I don't know anyone I would call a Pharisee by title. But churches are full of people that have a Pharisee attitude. Churches are full of them. I've been guilty of it myself. And when we go through life with a Pharisee attitude saying, look, God, here's what I've done. Look at how committed I am to you. Thank goodness I'm better than those around me. I must make you proud, God. When we have that attitude and we look down on others because we don't see them as good or righteous, we are acting like the Pharisee. When we become proud of our own goodness and we stack it up and compare it to others, we've become like the Pharisee. And a Pharisee looks really good on the outside. Looks really good on the outside. They are rotting and dying in their heart. A Pharisee looks good on the outside, but there is a deep need for repentance. I was listening to a sermon yesterday from Mark Clark. Anyone here listen to Mark Clark? Mark Clark fans? Wow, okay. Thank you, Travis. Look up Mark Clark. He's amazing. Mark Clark is one of the most intense preachers. But he can share things so simply that carry a crazy amount of like depth to them. And he was preaching through a passage in Ephesians, and I heard him say, he said, your goodness does not bring you to heaven. Jesus' goodness brings you to heaven. That right there is the gospel. There's nothing you can do to earn Jesus' salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn a relationship with God. It is offered freely through what Jesus has already done. And those that humble themselves to the point of they know they need a Savior and they know it is not themselves, they are the ones that are exalted and made right with Jesus and go home justified. Look at the tax collector's prayer. Sums up the gospel so simply. He brings his sin and he surrenders it and he goes home justified. That doesn't sound that complicated to me. I know there's a lot in that. But you look at the prayer and the life of the Pharisee, it would have been filled with rigorous religious traditions, laws, keeping them to a T to keep up this symbol, this image that you've built of yourself. He is not the one that goes home justified. It is the one who comes before God and says, look at me, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. He brings his sin, he confesses it, surrenders it, and he goes home justified. Let me tell you a little something that's been going on in my own heart in the last few months. The attitude of the Pharisee is something I slip into at times, for sure. Like I said, pride is really sneaky, really sneaky. You let it in, you let it grow, bad news. And I can go through my day as a pastor. I can be studying God's word, I can be teaching it, I can be meeting with students, praying with students, caring for youth leaders, planning youth talks, planning small groups. All these things on the outside look good. They look godly. They're all ministry things. They're all, you know, building the kingdom of God. But if I go through those and I finish something, I'm like, oh, I did that pretty good. God, you must be like pretty impressed with me right now. I think you need me to accomplish your wills, your plans. When that lie sneaks into my head, if I do not immediately confess that to God, ask for his forgiveness, I become like the Pharisee very quickly. Because all these things might look good, but if it is not out of a genuine love for God, again, it comes back to where our hearts are at when we come before him. I want to read a few verses from the book of Psalms that have just been speaking to my heart as I kind of wrestle through some of this kind of Pharisee attitude. And it comes from Psalm 19. It's going to be on the screen behind me. It says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep me, your servant, also from willful sins, that they might not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." This is not going to be a groundbreaking thought, okay? This is probably not worth putting in your notebook. But I really believe to counter the life of a Pharisee, the attitude of a Pharisee, the heart of a Pharisee, is to just love God more. And hear me out on this. That's kind of a cliche pastor thing to say. I get that. But if you go through life thinking, if I, you know, give my time at the church a little more, if I invest in the kids' ministry a little more, if I lead a small group, if I, you know, work on the prayer team, whatever, 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 if I do all these things to try and please God and honor him, they're still good things. But I really think we're going at it completely backwards. If those things do not come out of a genuine love for God and his precepts and his ways, as those verses in Psalms say, we're going at it backwards. I have been praying and asking God that these words in Psalm 19 would ring so true in my heart, that I would fall so deeply in love with the ways of the Lord that I would not do any of those things just out of religious duty or because it's my job or because I know it's the right thing to do. I want to do it out of a deep love for God and a deep love for his ways and his precepts like we read in Psalm. Because if I'm being very honest, the youth have heard me talk about this so much, so you can tune me out if you need to. For a lot of my life, we hear the joy of the Lord. That's something we hear a lot. I really had no idea what that meant. Did not register in my heart what that really meant. I thought that meant just like I should be happy all the time, or like I just didn't know. I didn't understand it. And I think part of it is I've strived to do what God has called me to because I know it honors him, and I know his ways are better. I know that. I know that. But when we go at it like that, when we're doing it because we know it's right, we know it's good, there are times when we just go through life and like our hearts are in a tough place and we just have to continue to be faithful in that. Absolutely. But that, if that is your life with Jesus, is you just do it because you think you're supposed to, and it's not out of a genuine love for God first, it's exhausting. And the joy of the Lord is something that just kind of escapes you. And what I've experienced in the last few months is when we seek the Lord genuinely and we desire to have a deeper relationship with him, first of all, our sin starts to disgust us even more. And that is a remarkable thing to watch happen in your heart because it's so clearly the Holy Spirit at work. That in itself is just incredible to watch and experience. But then when you find joy in living according to the way that the Lord has called us, it doesn't become this do's and don'ts restrictive thing. It becomes this freeing, life-giving thing when you walk in the ways of the Lord. And I have experienced a joy like that in certain seasons recently that I don't think I've experienced before. And it is truly incredible when God's word, I know it's true, I know it's true, but when it starts to like become alive in your heart, It is incredible. The Pharisees, they knew it all. They had all the knowledge. They were the ones everyone went to for questions about the law and the scriptures. They knew it all. There was an eternal gap to their heart. It wasn't just a little disconnect. It was an eternal gap. But the amazing things about the amazing thing about God's grace is that gap can be filled in an instant when we come to know Jesus. When I read the Pharisees' prayer, it is amazing to think that that prayer and that man's heart and the destiny of that man's soul could instantly change when you come to know Jesus. And so I was reading through his prayer, I'm like, well, I know lots of people that have come to know Jesus where a prayer like that would have turned into something like this, where now if you come to know Jesus, the prayer would change to something like, God, I know I'm a sinner. Thank you for saving me from my evil ways, my thieving ways, my adulterous ways. I love your ways, God, because they bring me life, they bring me joy. Thank you for saving me. God's grace and love, it is hard to wrap our minds around, because a person like this, and maybe that's you, can instantly have a change of heart when they come to Jesus and they confess their brokenness and their sin, and he makes them new and makes them have new life through what Jesus has done. If you are here this morning and you need to come before God and surrender it all, look at the prayer of the tax collector. It is not complicated. He came before God, he confessed his sin, he surrendered that, he goes home justified. He goes home made right with God. So if you're here this morning and you know that you need to come before God and surrender that to him and ask Jesus to be the one to save you, because you know you can't save yourself, we've said it probably 10 times already, but if that is you, like, and you need to talk to someone, have someone pray with you, there are always people ready to pray for you in the prayer corner, during the service, after the service, whenever. And if you are here and you know that your heart has become hard towards God and you feel yourself slipping into the habits of the Pharisee, come and pray. We are not meant to follow Jesus on our own. It is not biblical. We are meant to do it in community with the body of Christ, which is the church. So if the Lord is doing something in your heart this morning, pay attention to it. Spend time with him, praying through it. Spend time with people you trust. Find people that are willing and ready to pray with you. It's disobedient to ignore what God is doing in our hearts and do nothing about it. So if he is doing something in your heart this morning, make sure you do something about it. Make sure you reflect on what God is doing and seek whatever it is. If he is revealing something in your heart, if he is calling you into a relationship with him, just be obedient to what he is doing in your heart, because I know his ways are better. I also know his ways are better. And if it just stays as knowledge and something in our head, we're totally missing what it means to live with Jesus and walk with him. So for the 11th time, if you need prayer this morning, please find someone to pray with you. I'm going to pray to close. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love for us. God, you loved us so much that you sent your son to die for us, to cover our sin, pay for our sin. And Lord, when we believe in your son Jesus and believe in his death and resurrection, we are made new, we are forgiven, and we get to have this incredible relationship with you. So Lord, whatever you are doing this morning in our hearts, whatever you are revealing or showing or calling us to, would you make that more clear? Would you give us the humility to just surrender to whatever you are doing, God? And if that means to have a conversation or to seek you more in prayer, Lord, would you just continue to lay that on our heart? I thank you, God, that you are a God of grace and mercy and love. And there's nothing that can change what you've done for us. It does not matter where we have come from, what we have done. You welcome us into your arms right now, right here, as we are. And God, we're just so thankful for that. Lord, I pray as we head out from here, that whatever you're doing in our hearts, that we would just be obedient to, God. We thank you for this time together, and we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.